Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for giving us time to study your word. And I pray that you give us insight as we study your word. Give us the courage, give us the strength, give us the power. Not only be able to hear what you have to say to us, and give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we have a better understanding of what we have read, and help us to hide your word within our heart so that we won't sin against you. And more importantly, we want to put it into practice so that we can see you, see your glorious. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So we finished chapter 6, 1 to 10 the last time. And today we talk about 11 to 21. Joyce, could you read that? Chapter 6, verse 11 to 21, all the way to the end. And let's listen to what she has to say to us.
Paul's charge to Timothy. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you, to keep the command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and mighty forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been trusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have wandered from the faith. Grace be with you.
Okay, verse 11. And this is the letter that Paul writing to his spiritual son, Timothy. And at that time, Timothy was timid. He's afraid to suffer for Jesus Christ. So he threw the towel. He gave up. He didn't want to be a pastor in the church of Ephesus. And then Paul write the first Timothy. And at the end, that is how Paul charged to Timothy what he has to do. But you, man of God, flee from all this. Flee from all this. I want you to write it down. Flee from what? What is written above in chapter 6, verse 3, all the way to verse 10. Flee from all this. Chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many grief. So flee from all this. Flee from all kinds of evil, like love of money. So you write that down. Flee from all this is flee from the love of money. Chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people eager for money, want to make more money, have wandered from faith and pierced themselves with many grief. And he's saying to Timothy, you are a pastor and you are the man of God, and flee from all this. And then if you flee from all this, what should you do? Negatively flee from all this, positively pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. You know what? In the Bible, you find out we have to flee from something and pursue something. Give up something, chase after something. I give you some illustration. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 verse 1 to 3. Take a look. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Rid yourself of all this kind of stuff, bad stuff. And then verse 2, like newborn baby, crave pure spiritual milk. Get rid of something that is bad. Crave for something that is good. Crave pure spiritual milk. What is pure spiritual milk? Is the Word of God. So that by it, you may grow up in your salvation. So that you know what you believe. And now that you have tasted pure spiritual milk, and know that the Lord is good, you should keep on doing it. Okay, so in the same way, in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, verse 11, flee from the love of money. But if I flee from something, then what should I pursue? Pursue righteousness, do what is good, do what is right. Isn't it because, you remember this morning you asked me the question in the morning worship at the end? You asked me, how can a sinner like us to be justified, to be called, to be credited with righteousness? So now that when we believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord say, okay, you're not sinner anymore, I call you righteous man, I call you man of God, then you got to pursue that. I give you one illustration. Let's say if you're born in a rich family, you have to wear certain clothes because you can't keep on wearing the clothes that you used to wear, because when you get into a rich family, they're going to change everything that you wear. They give you everything new. You have to take off everything that is not proper, is not appropriate, and put on something that's fit for your status. In the same way, now that we are righteous men, by God, in God's sight, now that we are righteous in God's sight, so that's why we have to pursue righteousness. Now that we seek after God, follow after Him, so we pursue godliness. The last time we talked about chapter 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So we have to pursue godliness, pursue faith. How do I pursue faith? By reading the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, and pursue love. How do I pursue love? Whatever the Lord tells you to do, you learn to do it. At first, you stumble. You remember when we were born, we learned how to crawl on the floor, on the carpet. As we're getting older, we look up, wow, well, we see our daddy and mommy walk, you know. We want to walk like them. So, and then we're going to lean on something that we can stand up and hold on to something we can walk. And when we have nothing to hold on, we walk a few steps, we don't have that strength, we fall. It get hurt. Hurt so badly. Next time you be very careful. And next time you hold on something. So at the beginning, we hold on something. Just like you learn how to swim. You don't know how to swim, you have what? Life jacket. You know, you don't want to get drunk for that. You know, you will die. So you hold on to life jacket, and then you learn the trick, you know, you learn the way how to swim, and then you take off that. You don't need that. We learn spiritual lesson in the same way. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. These are the area Christian has to pursue. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Under what situation we learn endurance? Especially when we pray to God, we hold on to God's promise, we pray according to God's promise, and God hasn't answered our prayer. We got to endure. And sometimes when we suffer and God hasn't delivered us yet, we endure. We just wait patiently for His deliverance. Gentleness, when someone treats you really bad, you don't pay back eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You return with gentleness. When you pursue righteousness, that means you are filled with the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit will enable you to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. And what does it mean by fight the good fight of the faith? I want you to write that down in verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 18. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, by following this instruction, you may fight the good fight. At the very beginning in chapter 1, Paul encouraged Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecy once made about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight. And then at the end of the chapter, chapter 6, Paul said that again. Chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. You know what? The reason why Timothy dropped out, he gave up his position as a pastor to the church of Ephesus, because he did not want to fight the good fight. That's why Paul know that. In chapter 1, verse 18, he wants his son Timothy to fight the good fight. Fighting the good fight is the instruction that Paul gave to Timothy in keeping with the prophecy one made about you. In chapter 6, he said that again. You know what happened when Timothy hear about that? Nothing moved him. He still don't want to serve as a pastor until 2 Timothy in chapter 1. Timothy say, Paul said to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity. When we are timid, when we are scared, when we are afraid, we say, wow, I fear, I'm afraid I can't do it. But Paul encouraged him by saying, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but the spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And then Paul say, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Paul encouraged Timothy to join with Paul in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, not by your own strength. And then, chapter 4, at the end, you know what Paul say? chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. And I found out how can I encourage people to do things. If he's timid, if he's afraid, just telling him, oh, fight the good fight won't do the job, because Paul did that. In chapter 1, Paul did that. In chapter 6, it didn't help. It didn't even move Timothy. Until Paul said that, I've been there before. Jesus Christ been there before. And Jesus Christ had fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. You know what? At chapter 6, he said that. Paul saying that. Jesus Christ did that. He said, wow, of course I know Jesus Christ did that. But what about you? Did you did it? Did you do it? You understand? We say, well, Jesus Christ is powerful. Of course he can do it. But then Paul say, I have fought the good fight. I done it. It's difficult. So that's why Paul encouraged his son, John with me in suffering for the gospel. John with me in suffering for the faith by the power of God. John with me by the power of God. Because when you join with me in suffering, God will help you. By that time, you experience God's power. And you say, okay, I'm willing to do it. 2 Timothy changes life. 1 Timothy doesn't change. So we learn how to encourage people. Just telling people, say, fight a good fight, fight a good fight. Jesus done that. It's not good enough. What about you? Did you do it? You encouraged me to do it. Did you do it yourself? You understand what I'm trying to say? So that's why we got to set example. If you want people to do certain thing that's very, very difficult, you do it yourself first. Show it to me. You can do it and show it to me, the benefit of it. And people will follow. You understand how you encourage people? Like you playing kung fu, you do kung fu, and you hit that and then crack it. Wow, yeah. Master can do it. Then I learn it, right? It's just using word to describe. You got to hit it this way, hit it that way, and then you don't even hit it yourself. You know what I mean? When you do it, wow, then when people see the power, they're willing to learn from you. Same way in the Bible. Okay, now go back. So we learn how to encourage people by just saying, fight the good fight of the faith. Even though you say in chapter 1, verse 18, isn't it? 1:18. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecy once made about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight. Okay? Holding on to faith and a good conscience. And in chapter 6, verse 11, but you, men of God, flee from all these and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. When you suffer, you got to endure. Why you got to endure? Because God not necessarily deliver you right away. Sometimes we grow because of our suffering, and we endure. You know, when we endure, we learn the lesson. And sometimes it's good for us. In chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of the faith. I want to explain to you again, what does it mean by fight the good fight of the faith? When you share the gospel, when you tell people about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is like fighting a good fight. Because the moment you talk about Jesus, people are going to say to you, Joyce, are you my friend? You say, yes. You say, then don't tell me about Jesus. People are like that. And then what should you say? You say to her, especially your friend, you say, the reason why I share Jesus to you. Because he will be your friend if you're willing to accept it. At first, I don't accept him either. When I hear about Jesus, I thought he's going to condemn me. As a matter of fact, Jesus did not come to condemn. Jesus came to save us, to rescue us, to deliver us. But we don't know. We thought he came to judge me. No. He didn't come to judge us. You know, he came to die for us. Seek and find and save what was lost. That's the reason why he came. Would you please turn to Luke, Gospel of Luke, the third book, chapter 19, verse 10. Tell us what's the reason why Jesus Christ come down from heaven. You got to explain to your friend, I share the gospel to you, I'm not judging you. I'm a sinner too. I just want to tell you the good news. What's the reason why Jesus Christ came down on earth? For the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came to seek and to save what was lost. As long as you confess before him that you were lost, you want to be saved. I'm in deep trouble. I need Jesus Christ to help me. As long as you're willing to say so, he's going to save you. So that's why, you know, you find out, when you share the gospel to the rich people, very likely, they don't believe in it. Because when you share the gospel to rich people, one thing they think is, oh, you want to get money from me. But when you share the gospel to the poor people know that I got nothing to give it to you anyway. So that's why they're willing to listen. And that's why when Jesus said in Isaiah, would you help them to turn to Isaiah 61, you know what the Bible say? Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, not to the rich, to the poor. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and to release from darkness for the prisoner, and to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor. Do you see that? Joyce, could you read that? And in verse 2 up to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor.
Okay. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the years of the Lord's favor.
You see? You take a look, starting in verse 1. To preach good news to who? Who are the candidate to receive good news? The poor. Blessed are those who are poor. Secondly, to those brokenhearted. When you are happy, you don't need Jesus. When you are brokenhearted, when you are poor and needy, you don't come to Jesus, you will be foolish. You should come to Jesus. Thirdly, to who? To the prisoner. They are in captive. In captive. Under the bondage of sins, under the bondage of drugs, under the bondage of emotional instability, is the time for you to turn to Jesus. I remember when I was in New York, I think around 15 years ago, we went to a prison. Because I read the newspaper in New York at that time, the wife killed her husband, adulterous woman. Her husband committed adultery with another woman, and her and his wife come from mainland China to New York City and finding that I think that's a Filipino woman commit adultery with that restaurant owner. And that adulterous woman mistreated her and threatened her too, saying that, oh, you don't know English, you can't help your husband, and I'm the one who can help. And then using the, you know, the Chinese, they have a chopper, you know, the big knife.
Yeah.
They try to put your knife, try to threaten her. She grabbed that and chop her up. And even in the judge showed Timothy, mercy to that lady. Because that adulterous woman is just doing too much. Okay? So, and then I go to the prison and share the gospel to her. She's listening. Okay? So when you are in need, when you are poor, when you are brokenhearted, I encourage you to read the Bible. God will comfort you. God will encourage you. And I show it to you in Psalm. Would you please turn to Psalm? Take a look at Psalm 107. Edda, could you read that? Psalm 107. You read it. You read it there. 1-3 first.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south.
And here, give us the reason why we should give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. And what kind of good deed did the Lord do to his own people? The first illustration is in verse 4 to verse 9.
Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things.
You take a look in verse 5. If you think you are hungry and thirsty and your life ebbed away, then you come to Jesus in prayer. In verse 6, cry out to him. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord deliver them from their distress. Why? Verse 9. For he satisfied the thirsty. He filled the hungry with good things. Come to the Lord if you think you are hungry and thirsty. Illustration, how good it is in verse 10 to verse 16. Second illustration.
Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down the gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron.
If you are suffering in iron chain as a prisoner, you're under bondage, something's controlling you, and you sense that you are in deep trouble, no one to help you, you know what should you do? You come to Jesus and cry out to him. Verse 13. pray to the Lord in your trouble, and He will save you from your distress. Third illustration, 17 all the way to 22.
Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them from their distress. He sent forth His word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of His works with songs of joy.
You know, that fellow is about to die. He loathed all food. He drew near to the gate of death. He's about to die. He has no appetite for any kind of good food. And he turned to the Lord and cried out to the Lord. You know what? One of these days, if you're sick, you turn to Psalm 107, verse 17, all the way to 22. And you pray like the psalmist. You follow them. And the Lord will deliver you. When the Lord delivers you, you give thanks to Him, for He is good. You know why? You know why Christians go to the church on Saturday, go to the church on Sunday to worship God and sing praise? To give thanks. Because He has been good to us. This is the third illustration. The first illustration, when you are hungry, when you are thirsty, when you are poor and needy, you turn to the Lord in prayer. You ask Him, have mercy on me, help me, deliver me. And when you are in darkness, in deepest gloom, you are prisoned under bondage of whatever kind of bondage, you turn to the Lord, He will set you free. When you are sick, when you are ill, when you are not healthy, you turn to the Lord, and He will heal you. The fourth illustration, when you are doing a business, just about to lose all your money, you turn to the Lord. Verse 23 to 32.
Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, His wonderful deeds in the deep. For He spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wit's end. Then they cried out to the Lord.
You know, when they're at their wit's end, they mean they use all their strength, they use all their might, they use all their wisdom, but doesn't help their business. When you are in a stormy sea, you're going to lose every bit of your saving in that cargo ship. All your investment in that ship already. When you find out you're in deep trouble, you know, then you cry out to the Lord. Lord, have mercy on me. And He will deliver you. Okay? Read that. Verse 28.
Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and He guided them to their desired haven.
The Lord listened to their prayer, right? Isn't it? Just like a baby, yeah, children has getting themselves into trouble. And then when he's hurt, when he get hurt, then he cry with Daddy, you know, like, oh, here I am. I actually remember Etta, you know. I mean, not Etta. Esther. Hey, my younger daughter, when she was in New York, you know, we love to bring her to a forest restaurant, Rainforest restaurant. At that time, it's more or less like West Hammond Mall. And there's crocodiles, tiger, and all these kind of animal there. My daughter, when she was there, she enjoyed, she just take off my hands, don't even me to hold her hand, because not stop her from getting closer to watch all this kind of good stuff. And I found out that she don't want me, so I hide myself in a pillar, and then after half an hour, she didn't even want to look at me. All of a sudden, she said, well, how come Daddy's not around? Daddy! He cried, here I am! You know what I mean? I don't want to get myself into problem too, because I what happened to the policeman? And say, what happened to you? Are you child abuse or what? You know what I mean? Oh, man. I tell you, when God's children get himself into problem, in their business, when they use their mighty strength and wisdom to try to solve the problem cannot solve, you cry out to God. And God help you save the problem, solve your problem. Okay? And that's why we give thanks to God? Continue then, at it.
31. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders.
Thank you. So we go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Remember one thing, when we study the Bible, we learn how to pray to God when you're in deep trouble. And I know if you believe in him, he answers your prayer. When he answers your prayer, you learn from Psalm 107, you give thanks to God. You say thank you. So that's why you go to the church and sing praise to him. Thank you for protecting me. Whatever situation you are in, you still can turn to God. And that's why Christians, they're willing to spend time and read the Bible, spend time to worship God on Sunday, listen to his word, because we learn how to deliver ourselves. Just like I say to my daughter, I say, now that if you go to work from Monday to Friday, you go to work, not that, oh, I make money from Monday to Friday, and then on Saturday and Sunday, I'm going to spend them all. No, you make the money, you save some for the rainy day, because you don't know at that time you need it. When we read the Bible, doesn't mean that I'm poor now, doesn't mean that I'm needy now. I read the Bible just in case if there's a stormy weather and I got so much investment in that ship. If that ship sinks, I'm going to lose them all. You understand? When you're in that situation, you know where to turn to. You can't find a pastor at that time. He may not be around, but I remember Psalm 107. I just go back to Psalm 107 and read it and pray according to that. I say, Lord, you deliver me. I'm going to give thanks to you. I follow what the Bible says. Where is it, Daniel?
Psalm 107.
That's right. 107. Okay? Remember that. 107. It's not 007. I say 107. Okay? Okay, let's go back. Chapter 6. When we share the gospel, it's just like fighting a good fight. Because you know why? When you share the gospel, your friends say, Joy, shut up. I don't want to hear about that. If he's being rude to you. If he's not being rude to you, say, Joy, give me a break. I have no mood to hear that. You know what I mean? When you share the gospel, you're saving his soul from hell. So you're fighting a good fight. Like you're fighting with the evil spirit. You understand? The evil spirit inside her say to you, don't share the gospel to me. I still remember before my brother passed away. 6 months ago, someone come to my house to share the gospel. When I hear them sharing the gospel to me, I share Buddha to them. I don't listen to him. And lo and behold, 6 months later, my brother died in a car accident. And then I softened my heart. I'm willing to listen to what the other people say to me. Unfortunately, when my brother in the accident, in coma for 10 days, I don't know how to pray. Because I don't believe in Jesus. If I know at that time, 107, I will hold on to 107 and pray to God. Same as now, I know how to pray. When my brother, Key is his father, my brother, he has cancer. When I heard about that, I pray for Key. When my sister, Margaret in Vancouver, has cancer, I heard about that, I pray. I know how to pray. But if you don't know how to pray, then you don't know who you turn to. It's really sad. So we come here to study the Bible is to learn how to save yourself when you are in need. Same as you work from Monday to Friday to save up money, you don't know at that time you may need that money. Okay? Sharing the gospel is like fighting the good fight. Against who? Against the evil spirit. Because we know that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, before I was a Christian, I have evil spirit within my heart because I'm disobedient to God. Once I turned to Jesus, and Jesus Christ kicked the evil spirit out of my heart and gave me the Holy Spirit. So when you share the gospel, you share the gospel out of your heart, outflow from the Holy Spirit through your heart, through your mouth. But now inside her heart, in her heart, she didn't have the Holy Spirit. In her heart, she has the evil spirit. So that's why she say bad thing to you. Say, shut up, Joyce. I don't want to hear this anymore. Have you been in this kind of situation before when you share the good news about Jesus Christ, tell your friends to come to the church? What do they say? They give you all kind of excuse. You know, the excuse that they gave it to you is not from them. It's from the evil spirit inside. So you, in order to fight the good fight, you got to pray for that person. Ask God to bang the Satan inside. You understand? When you read the Bible, you understand? It's not because you are wise that you understand. It's because the Holy Spirit dwells inside your heart and enable you to understand. The reason why when you read the Bible, you understand, you agree with what the Bible says, because the Holy Spirit moves you. The reason why, remember, when you first read the Bible, when you are non-Christian, you don't understand what you're reading, you have no interest to read it, because the evil spirit say to you, don't bother reading it, you won't understand. You understand what I'm trying to say? So it's like fighting a good fight. You don't know Satan is working against you until you hear the gospel. And I just heard from you, right? Is that when remember that when you write the in their website, encourage someone to come. Remember that lady first come called Amy.
Amy
first come, and then she used to believe in Jesus, right? You remember that? And after that, you know what happened? She get home, she becomes so sick for a month already.
I'm very very sick. She said so. In her life, she didn't get that.
The person who
say they believe in Jesus.
First day,
she becomes so sick because the evil spirit inside her.
Until now, she's not recovered. Still a little bit.
She says she's gonna come back next week.
Yeah.
He's afraid of God is punishing her. Because
she thought God is punishing her. God won't punish her for that. It's the evil spirit stopping her from coming. You understand what I mean? It's a deception, you know. She has deceiving spirit inside her. It's amazing, eh? You know, that's why the Satan say, don't ever bother coming, you know. I will make you sick.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep on praying for Amy. Okay? It is like fighting a good fight. Okay? It is fighting the good fight. Those, you know, the reason why I don't believe at that time, because I have evil spirit inside my heart. The evil spirit tell me, don't listen to him. Don't believe in what he say. But once I make a decision to believe in Jesus, and God kicked the evil spirit out of my heart, and then his seat and throne within my heart, and he controlled me. So the sooner you believe in Jesus Christ, the better you are. Okay? Where do I know that? The reason why Paul saying to Timothy that you share the gospel is like fighting a good fight, that is recorded in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That spirit is the evil spirit. Etta, could you read that one more time? Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Who is living in the non-believer?
As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient.
So, who is working in those who are disobedient? The evil spirit. The devil. So when you share the gospel, all of a sudden when you see your friend so angry, why is he so angry? No, it's about you're not fighting against the flesh and blood. I want you to write it down right beside the spirit. I want you to write down chapter 6, verse 10. Chapter 6, verse 10, all the way to 13. Heather, could you read that? Yep. Ephesians 6:10 to 13.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand.
Okay, in other words, what Paul's trying to say is, when you share the gospel, just like you're fighting a good fight, you're not fighting against the flesh and blood. It's not fighting against your friend. You're fighting what is inside your friend's heart. That's the devil. In order to fight against him, you have to have the Holy Spirit within yourself. On top of that, you have to put on the full armor of God. Clothed with Jesus. You have to know his word. Otherwise, you can't fight a good fight. Because he's going to say something, you'd be so discouraged from then on. You become so tame, like a lamb. He won't say anything because he'll overcome you. You say, hey, George, you want to keep that friendship? Keep your mouth shut. And then you keep your mouth shut. Every time you want to share the gospel, I remember what she said to me. I keep my mouth shut. You understand what I'm trying to say? Remember, when you share the gospel, you are like fighting a battle in a battlefield. Not against your friend. It's against inside her heart, the evil, the devil. So how do you do it? God say, first thing, pray for that fellow. Ask God to bang the Satan. Bang that Satan. So that when Satan are weakened, then you can take captive and bring her to Jesus. It's not her herself saying that thing. It's what inside her heart say that bad thing. The evil spirit. You understand what I'm trying to say? In order to win the battle, you have to put the full armor of God. And you have to pray for your friend. Ask God to bang Satan. Okay? Bang him. Then he say, wow. Stay in that building, stay in that body, it's no good. I have no peace. I may as well get to an easy place to stay. You understand? So the more you pray for your friend, the easier she will believe in Jesus. If you are the devil, will you stay in the place that someone keep praying for the salvation of her? No. You stay in the place, that dirty place. Nobody care about him. That's the place you like to stay. That become a stronghold to you. You understand? Okay, remember that when you share the gospel, like fighting a good fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you will call. God calls us to have eternal life. When do we have eternal life? When you make your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. When you confess your faith and saying that Jesus is my Lord, is my Savior, I invite Jesus Christ to enter into my heart, then I have eternal life. Now I want to ask two of you a question. You know what? Yesterday after Bible study, in the south side, Moses, you want to do that?
Oh no.
And let's get that. Yesterday, try that. Come on. Yeah. Wait for Kachi. On Friday night yesterday, after the Bible study, there's a young man came to our church. He worked at the Tokyo Express.
Which one? Riverbend one?
Tokyo Express. I don't know which one. Is it Chinese?
They're all Chinese.
Oh, Chinese.
Mainland China too.
Yeah, mainland China. Yeah. And
all my Tokyo Express clients.
Yeah, he said that he's working at Tokyo Express, and after a Bible study, because I found out that, you know, he get a Bible, he get like yours at the Bible, and then he put the index in the Bible. That means he loved to study the Bible. He come here only the third time. I said, do you mind to give me 30 minutes? We go to another room. I share the gospel to him. I ask him the question. Now I would like to ask you. I ask him, do you want to understand the Bible? He said yes. Now I ask you the question. Do you want to understand the Bible?
Yes. I understand.
You want to understand the Bible. What about you? Do you want to understand the Bible?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I say, if you want to understand the Bible, you have to be born again in order to be able to understand the Bible. Let me give you an illustration. You have any children? You have any child? Baby?
Yes.
How old?
22.
2 years old? Okay, now.
22
years old?
Yeah.
Or big boy?
Yeah.
Okay, now. Remember that. Are you teaching your boy while he's inside your white tummy?
Wound?
No, you don't teach him. He won't hear you anything. But when he come out, he start learning.
Yeah, begin learning. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Has to be born into the world. Like inside the womb, you say, baby, you have to listen to me. Inside, outside, there's a very windy, stormy weather. Sometimes in the winter time, there's snow. You talk about snow. How would a baby inside know about snow?
Don't know.
You say, inside, when you walk across the street, you be careful. Make sure that you don't get knocked down by a car. You can say all you like. The baby inside have never seen car. He won't understand what he mean by that.
Kind of understanding.
He won't understand.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time to teach that.
Yeah, waste of time.
Until he come out into the world. Then you start teaching them.
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah, I understand.
In the same way, if you want to understand the Bible, you got to be born again. Will you please turn to Gospel of John chapter 3? 3 to Gospel of John chapter 3. Could you try to read that? Chapter 1? Chapter 3, verse 1. to fight. Could you try to read it?
No, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who was come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." He is born again. "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit."
Verse 6, one more.
"Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit."
Flesh gives birth to flesh.
Flesh gives birth to
flesh. Our mother has flesh and blood. So she gives birth to flesh and blood. Our God is spirit. So that's why God gives birth to spirit. If your parents has flesh and blood, he gives birth to flesh and blood. Right? George, could you read that? Okay. Chapter 3, 1 to 6.
"Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.' 'How can a man be born when he is old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit.'"
In order for us to understand God's word, you have to be born again, because the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. I was born in a Cantonese-speaking family. My father speaks Cantonese, my mother speaks Cantonese. No way I learn Mandarin. You understand? My father speaks Cantonese, my mother speaks Cantonese, so I learn Cantonese. But if my father are English speaking, if my father is English speaking, my mother is English speaking, my parents are English speaking, then I speak English. In order for you to understand God's word, you got to ask God to let you be born again. Born into his family. Then you learn his language. Then you learn his word. Then automatically you understand his word. That's why I'm asking that young man, do you want to understand the Bible? Same as
I want to understand.
In the same way, do you want to learn English? If you really want to learn English, I put you in a position that you are living among the English speaking people, then you force yourself to learn it.
Yes.
Right? You have no choice but to learn it, because nobody is going to speak to you in Mandarin. So it's going to force you to learn that language. When you're forced to learn that language, you learn it faster. You learn it faster.
Yeah.
You have no choice. But if I put you in the situation in mainland China, you have a tough time to learn English. Because every people speaking to you in Mandarin.
Yeah.
How can you learn? You're not in that environment to learn. In the same way, in order for you to learn God's word, you got to be in that environment to learn God's word. You got to be among God's children. When they are God's children, then you learn His language. When you are among the Cantonese speaking, you learn Cantonese. You are among the Mandarin speaking, you learn Mandarin. You are among the God's children, you learn God's word. But you got to be what? Born into that family before you be able to understand God's word. And if you truly want to understand God's word, I can show you a way to do it today, if you want. Follow after me, and I will make a prayer. You know what? I want you to write it down in Chinese.
Sure, no problem.
So that they understand exactly what I really mean. I tell you what my prayer is like. Our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that I'm a sinner. Let me see.
我承认自己是个罪人。
And I cannot save myself. I cannot save myself. I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior, to save me from hell. To save me from hell. For I don't want to go to hell. To save me from the control of Satan. To save me from the control of Satan. For I don't want to be controlled by Satan. I want to be controlled by God. For I don't want to be controlled by Satan. I want to be controlled by God. I want to open my heart to invite Jesus Christ to enter into my heart, to be my Savior, to be my Lord. I want Jesus Christ to lead me to heaven. To lead me, 引领我, 带领我. I want Jesus Christ to lead me to heaven.
我写有点慢, 翻译了说吧。
Yeah.
就像耶稣基督带我进入天堂。
I'll say that again, okay? Our Heavenly Father, when you write a letter, dear so and so, you says, when you write a letter, you're going to address who going to receive that letter. The one who hear my prayer is our Heavenly Father, is God. Okay? Our Heavenly Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I know you can save me. I ask that
向你请求。
You forgive all my sins.
你饶恕我的罪过。
Forgive all my sins.
饶恕我所有的过犯。
Cleanse all my unrighteousness.
洗清我所有的不义。
And now that I'm clean,
现在我已经洁净了。
I know that you hear my prayer.
现在我知道神已听到了我的祷告。
And I ask Jesus Christ.
现在我向耶稣基督你请求。
To enter into my heart.
进入我的内心。
To be my savior.
成为我的救主。
Save me from hell.
救我脱离地狱。
For I don't want to go to hell.
因为我不想进入地狱。
I want to go to heaven.
我想进入天堂。
But I cannot go to heaven by my own strength.
但我自己无法靠我自己的力量进入天堂。
But I know Jesus Christ can help me.
我知道主耶稣基督你一定能够救我。
He can guide me.
你会引导我。
When I confess my sins,
当我承认我的我是罪人的时候。
And ask you for forgiveness,
当我向你请求饶恕我的过犯。
And you will forgive all my sins.
你会饶恕我所有的过犯。
When I ask you to enter into my heart,
当我向你请求让你主你的灵进入我的内心的时候。
And I will become your child.
我会成为你的儿女。
And being your child,
作为你的儿女。
And I know I will be able to go to heaven.
我知道我一定能够进入天堂。
And I ask Jesus Christ.
我这样的请求是。
I ask Jesus Christ not only to be my savior.
我请求耶稣基督不仅仅是只是我的救主。
And to be my Lord.
而且是我的个人的主。
Now that I'm your son.
现在我是你的儿女。
I don't know what to do.
我不知道该怎么办。
But you got to teach me.
但是你需要你来教导我。
Feed me.
喂养我。
Guide me.
引导我。
Lead me.
引导我。
So that I be your good son.
以至于我可以成为你的好的儿子。
So that I can put what I learn into practice.
以至于我可以学习并且来行来做出来。
I pray all these
我这样的祷告
in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ
奉主耶稣基督的圣名而求。
Amen.
Amen.
Do you want to pray like this?
Yeah, I want.
What about you?
Yes, I
You want to pray like this?
Yeah,
okay, you follow after me then. When I pray this, you can either do it in English or you can do it in Mandarin. It's okay. Let's pray.
要我再
用。要原来你
牧师说一句，你不愿意用中文，
用国语比较清楚一点，你用国语。But I do it in English. I do it in English. He can translate in Mandarin. You do it in Mandarin. Okay.Our Heavenly Father, I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I know Jesus Christ, who loved me, who willing to die on the cross for me,
耶稣基督愿意上十字架来救我们。
愿意上十字架救我们。
I know he loved me.
我知道耶稣基督爱我。
He willing to die on the cross for me.
And, 耶稣基督他上是在十字架为了救我们。
耶稣基督上十字架为了救我们。
Thank you for your love.
谢谢
你的爱。I ask that you forgive all my sins.
我向你请求饶恕我所有的过犯。
饶恕我所有的过犯。
I ask Jesus Christ to enter into my heart.
我请求耶稣基督主你的灵进入我的内心
To be my savior
成为我的救主
Save me from hell
救我脱离地狱
I want to go to heaven
我想进入天堂
Once I confess my sins
现在我承认我的我是一个罪人
I ask you for forgiveness
我向你请求饶恕我的过犯
And I ask that you enter into my heart.
请求你进入我的内心。
Once you enter into my heart,
耶稣基督，你一旦进入我的内心
，I become your child.
我就成为了你的儿女。
Now that I'm your child,
现在我是你的儿女。
I ask that.
我向你请求祷告。
You feed me with your word.You feed me with your word.
用你的话来喂养我。
You feed me with your word. You guide me with your word.
你用你的话来引导我。
And lead me how to live a life that is pleasing in your sight.
告诉我怎样在你。
引导我。怎样走一个道路是你所喜悦的？
怎样走是你所喜悦的道
路 ？Once I become your children, I want to be an obedient child.
现在我成为了你的儿女，我想成为你，我还想成为你顺命的儿女。
我很想成为你顺命的儿女，
就是遵守你命令的儿女。
And I pray all this.
我这样的以上的祷告祈求。
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let me test that, okay? You know the doctor delivered the baby. You're going to hold their hand and bend the button. And the baby cry. Then I know the baby is alive, right? In the same way, I'm going to test it. Now to see, let's say if this building collapsed, all of us died right away.Where would you go when this building collapses? You go to hell or you go to heaven?
Go to heaven.
Okay. What about you?
Yes, sir. Go to heaven.
You know what?
Five minutes ago.
If I ask you, if this building collapses, where would you go? Very likely you're going to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
The reason why you say, I know I go to heaven,Because when you pray, you ask God to forgive your sins. God answers your prayer. God has already forgiven all your sins. That means your heart is very clean already. When your heart is clean, the evil spirit, the dirty spirit is gone. And the Holy Spirit, the spirit from God, enter into your heart.When I ask you, if this building collapses, we all die, where will you go? You say you go to heaven. It's not you saying that. It is the Holy Spirit inside you to say that you go to heaven. Why you go to heaven? Because what? You are? Because you are?
God's children of God.
Children of God.You are God's son, you are God's daughter. You understand?
Yes. God's son, God's daughter.
Yes. Now let me ask you a question. If you are able to do it, when your son asks you for favor, you know it's good for your son to do that. Let's say your son goes to university to study. And when he comes home, he says, Daddy,I know our family is not rich, but the professor said that I need a computer to do my assignment, to do my homework. If you have the ability to buy the computer, will you say, no? You go to work in McDonald's, you earn your own money. Or you're going to say, you need a computer for your homework, you need that, it's good for you. Without that, you can't do your assignment. I'm going to pay for it, I do it.
Yeah.
Will you do that for your son?
Yeah.
If you as a father will do that, how much more our Heavenly Father? Say, Heavenly Father, now I have need, especially in Canada, I need to learn good English. Could you please help me? You think God will not help you?
God help me.
God will help you.
Yeah, I see.
So you got to pray now. You understand? Same as if your son don't have a parents around. Let's say if your parents pass away.
Yeah.
Your son become orphan.
Yeah, orphan.
Without parents.
Yeah.
When you need a computer, who else are you going to ask? Nobody. You're going to go to work in McDonald's and earn $600 to buy a computer.
Yes.
It's really poor.
Yeah.
It's really bad. But if you have a father, earthly father, of course you will go to your earthly father. Tell your father, I have a problem. My professor said, you need a computer. I need that computer to do my assignment. Could you help me to get a computer? If you are able to do it, will you not answer his prayer? I think you will give him a computer. You will order a computer, right?
Yeah.
And give it to him. In the same way, now that you become God's son, now that you become God's daughter, anything you need on earth, who should you talk to? Talk to your Heavenly Father. He's powerful. He loves you. He will help you. Not just in English learning. This is small thing. Getting a job. What to do in the future. He's going to help you. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That's good. I'm happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Huh?
Congratulations. I'm happy for you. Okay? So let's finish that. 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's amazing, eh? So, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. When you make your good confessions in the presence of many witnesses. You know what? At that time when Timothy make his good confession in the presence of many witnesses, just like both of you now, you just pray to receive Jesus Christ, that means you make a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I'm your witness. Chen Jinglin is your witness.
Yeah,
he see that? Joyce, my daughter, is your witness.
Yeah.
Daniel, Sally, Etta, all of us. See that you make a confession. Say, God, you are my God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, you are my Savior. I cannot save myself. I need Jesus Christ to help me in every day of my life. Not just my eternal life. If God give me the eternal life, God give me the good gifts.
Yes, good gift.
If I ask for a computer, he will give it to me. Yes. Computer is Mickey Mouse compared with eternal life.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm trying to say? So in here, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. When you believe in Jesus Christ, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. That's why when this building collapses, when we all die, I know when I die, I go to heaven. I have eternal life. I know I have eternal life. I can live forever and ever with Jesus Christ. Because I'm God's son. You understand? So that's why Paul is saying to Timothy, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Take hold of that. Make sure you know that you are God's child now. Make sure you know that you have eternal life now. You know where you go when you die. You understand? Make sure that. Same as, you know what? When you give birth to your baby, when your baby is 3 years old, make sure you tell your baby. Lacey Singh Nagoga, what's your last name? Last name is the Kau. You're going to tell your son, your last name is Kau. You even show him how to write the word. And do you know that you are my son? You're going to tell him, my name is Mr. Ko, and your last name is Mr. Ko.
Yeah.
You can teach them. In the same way, that's how God used Paul to teach Timothy. Tell Timothy to take hold of the eternal life to which you are called when you make your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the same way, now today's, and let me see. What's the name again?
Ko.
Yeah, Ko Changming.
Yeah.
When I see your name, I know that you'll be a Christian.
Yeah.
You know what you know what this mean? The first name?
Mm-hmm.
This one?
Xiang.
Do you know what this mean? This word means?
I know. Xiang.
You explain to me what does it mean?
Ji Xiang. This is a sheep.
Okay.
This is a table.
Okay.
The sheep on the table.
Okay.
Sacrifice to God.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a Xiang.
Okay.
Yes. Ming, sign, and moon.
Moon.
Yeah.
Let me explain to
bring
you.
Bring us right.
Let me explain to you what it means by that. This word? This.
This meaning table.
This one mean table?
Yeah.
This portion?
Meaning table, clothes.
Jesus.
This is a clothes. But the old words, ancient words, like this.
Yeah.
Sheep on the table. Ancient words. Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was teaching the culture in China.
Yeah. But I tell you what this really mean. This, because 部首, is 神的部首. This is 神. That is revealed. That portion is revealed. 启示.
I know.
God revealed to us. You know how God saved us? Through this lamb. This lamb.
Yeah, lamb.
Is Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
公义, 这个义是怎么写? 是羊, 撞过个头像, 这个繁体。
Yeah, yeah.
有羔羊 has the Lamb of God on top of me.
Oh.
这是义。 有自己 大一点点 这是臭。 有义 撞我头上 这是义。 有羊 撞我头上 这是义。 Have the Lamb of God on top of me. I honor God, exalt Him. He's on top of me, and He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my King. He's my everything. Then God say, "You're righteous."
Yeah, yeah.
Righteousness. This lamb.
Lamb.
It's a Lamb of God.
Lamb of God.
John 1:29. You see that? 约翰福音第一章29节 Do you see that? Chapter 1,
29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one. I mean when I said,
Okay. Now, in here, 129, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God. Who is the Lamb of God? The Lamb of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ takes away the sins of the world. Why? He died on the cross for me and for you. Mm-hmm. That's why he takes the sins of all.
That's why.
He died for me. He's on the table. He sacrificed for me. He suffered for me. That's how he takes away the sins of the world. When we confess our sins, we ask God to take away our sins. That's exactly what we're doing. So in here, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, now I encourage both of you, Coach Qiang Ming, and then
Wang Hui Lan.
They say the name again. Wang Hui Lan. Now, Kou Qiang Ming and Wang Hui Lan. You make sure that both of you take hold of the eternal life. Know that you have eternal life, to which both of you were called. When you two make your confession in the presence of me, in the presence of Chen Jinglin, in the presence of Joyce, Etter, Sadi, and Daniel, we hear that you confess your sin. We hear that you ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart. I know that Jesus Christ has already entered into your heart. Otherwise, you won't say when this building collapses, you're going to go to heaven.
Yeah.
Now that you say, because not that you say, it is the Holy Spirit, it is God inside your heart, say that. So I'm very happy. So we're going to finish, we're going to finish in verse 12, and then we go for dinner now. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for saving the life of Wang Hui Nan, 而且 Kou Qiang Ming, Kou Qiang Ming, Kou Qiang Ming, Kou Qiang Ming. I give you thanks for loving them as you have loved us. And I give you thanks for bringing them into our church. And I pray that you help them to know that they have eternal life now, as they have prayed in front of us, in front of you, that they pray that you're going to feed them through this Bible study, through this worship, and I pray that you bless them. Help them not only be able to learn English and learn it well, I pray that you help him, help them, help this family to be established in Canada. And I pray that the more they come here to study your word, they know you better. And when they are in need, when they cry out to you in prayer, and I pray that you answer their prayer. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to turn to Psalm 65, verse 2. God is the one who hears our prayer. Psalm 65, Psalm is in the middle of the Psalm, in the middle of the Bible. 65, 2. Could you read that?
You who hear prayer, to you all men will come.
All you who hear prayer. God is the one who hears prayer. When you pray to God, you pray in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. And God will hear your prayer. If you know that God will hear your prayer, all men should come. As long as you confess that you are poor and needy, you are in need, you ask God to help you, he help you. When you become proud, you say, I don't need you, then he can't help you. You understand?
Yes.
Good.
Humble.
Yeah, humble. Yeah, let's go for dinner.